pray that I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As term approaches its end, here's a question. How much of your life is spent trying to please other people? And how costly is that? Now, forgive me for being simplistic, but I have to be brief because you've got lives to go to. But basically, as you might know, a man called Carl Jung believed that the human self, as it grows up, has to learn to fit in, to socialize, and to keep people happy. It tends to start with your parents, keeping them pleased. Maybe your siblings. Then you get to school, and it's your school group and your teachers. Some of you here have been trying to please your examiners of late. And then it will be work colleagues and your boss and so on. And in all this fitting in, the human self has to develop, he thought, a persona that is a mask, a social self or a face that you present to the outer world like your little shop window, showing off all your best wares. But that mask, says Jung, is not really who you are, even though other people think it is you, and you can also start to believe it. And as we fix this mask on us to be acceptable and fit in with all the expectations around us, day-to-day life, we have to repress, push down, keep hidden a whole heap of stuff. Emotions, qualities, character traits, talents, sides to us, feelings, all that are an essential part of who we are, but which we don't want to be seen because they don't fit with the mask. We're scared of them because at some time these things that we tend to hide have probably been forbidden, prohibited, probably beginning at home. And so we have become ashamed of them. Guilt, of course, is I've done something wrong. Shame is I am something wrong. So we become ashamed of these hidden things, and we become a guarded version of our own nature. And you can think about in your own life all the forbidden things that may have been forced on you by others. You can think back and recall the things perhaps you were never allowed to talk about at home, the things that you've been forbidden, like growing up, changing, sometimes showing affection, being original, being proud of yourself, speaking your own thoughts, being you and who you are inside and out, your body. A person who's making mistakes and is trying to make a life like everyone else. But our lives have all developed these don't go there signs in order to be accepted and fit in. And all these things that we're hiding, Jung thought we push them into a sort of big bag. It gets heavier and heavier as life goes on. And the more we invest in a certain image of ourselves, the more we push parts of us down out of sight, out of consciousness. And this is what Jung called our shadow. Now, he thought that this shadow, this rubbish bag full of things that we're keeping hidden, and sometimes of which we're ashamed, can actually be explored. You might do it with a therapist, you might do it with a friend. You might do it in prayer. But he thought it was a very creative, potentially creative place. If you don't explore it, well, a lot of it tends to come out anyway, certainly in your dream life, where it takes a bit of air. But of course, it can come out in a lot of other less helpful ways. And of course, he thought that this is why a lot of people drink a lot or take drugs, because this is how layers of your inhibition begin to drop away and you start to get in touch again with those bits that you're hiding. But the problem is, of course, that it's not a very good way of integrating, because you have the hangover and then you start life again. Depression, he thought, is its loudest voice. And he said something rather alarming. He said, whatever we ignore for the sake of ambition will always come back knife in hand to take its revenge. And he believed that it wasn't only individuals that can have shadows, but nations can have shadows, communities, groups, churches. And by the way, clergy usually have enormous shadows, because there are a lot of expectations on how clergy are supposed to behave and what they're supposed to say. So we keep a lot out of view. Jung believed that human beings have an appointment to keep with their shadow, usually around midlife. It's that time when you see that the image you've been working on so hard doesn't really add up to much. Or as Joseph Campbell put it, you spend about the first 35 or 40 years of your life climbing a tall ladder in order to finally reach the top of the building. And then, when you're on the roof, you realize it's the wrong building. One of the most dangerous parts of our shadow life is the projecting we can do with it. All this unloved part of ourself, we don't want you to see, so I'm going to point to somebody else and say they have it. So I could point to Tom up here and say, have you noticed how vain he is with his clothes? Whereas, of course, I might secretly have that same propensity, but it's very convenient if I'm pointing at him, you're now all looking at him, you're not looking at me. Human beings are hugely skilled at this projection. It can be very harmful, and of course, it means that you just keep your full self alive. Now, when Christ tells us to love our enemies, he's actually asking us to love those who are often bearing the weight of your shadow. As you're casting it onto somebody else, he's saying you have to love that person because they're carrying your burden. So he's asking us to love our neighbor as ourself, not hate your neighbor as you hate yourself. And the Gospels are full of stories denouncing unhealthy projections. Those without sin, you cast the first stone. And you have to take back some responsibility for your projections that turn enemies into neighbors if you are brave enough to do it. So, to keep in touch with your shadow seems an important thing to do. And whether you find this imagery of Jung's helpful or not, there is surely something to this about the human being and how we relate to ourselves and to others. I'm afraid to tell you who I am, because if I tell you who I am, you may not like who I am, and it's all I have. That's where so many of us are. So rather the risk of being hurt, we don't tell others who we are, and we go into camouflage. But in hiding, we're in danger of losing. And to such people, Christ spoke. He asked their name. He touched. He lifted them up. Imagine what shadows you bear if you have a contagious disease like leprosy. And what does he do? He reaches out and touches them. He comes to the fractured, the ashamed and confused, the hiding, self-loathing, and he says, peace, be still. Those words, don't be afraid, are said 365 times in the Bible, one for every day of the year. It's true, life isn't for beginners. It can feel very much like a boat in a storm. Sometimes trapped with fearful friends we hardly know deep down. But those words spoken are peace, be still, don't be afraid. Become the real you. Your soul will follow. In a Christian community, you should never be asked to fit in. You are invited to belong.